And we're back. Welcome to Above All, There's Hope, My Journey with Prostate Cancer. This is season two, episode two. And I'm Mark Johnson, and
I'm Jill Johnson.
So, okay, in the category of first you see us, then you don't, we lost our video production space, so we're back to audio-only podcast for the time being. If you're into listening to this in your car or just through some other listening device, it's good for you. So we're coming to you from our beautiful studio on the lake. But in any case, for those who love video, I think we've been able to source a new video production space, and we'll be there shortly. It's so new, it's still being built, but I've worked a deal with the people who manage it, so hopefully you'll see us and hear us very, very soon. So who knows, raise your hands if you know the answer to this, what September is.
I know.
Jill, yes, Jill? Jill?
I know. It's Prostate Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay. So, yes, you are right. Ding, 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 ding. But my question is, what in the world is going on? I mean, aside from the fact that so very few people know that it's Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, it turns out, unique among all the other 11 months of the year, September is designated as the Awareness Month for 8 different types of cancers. And that includes childhood cancer, gynecological cancer, I can't believe I said that, Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, of course, prostate cancer, thyroid cancer, and there may be one other cancer, and then a few other maladies or things to be aware of. No other month has that many things, so confusing much? And August doesn't have anything, and December doesn't have anything, so I don't know who picks these months or assigns these months or anything like that, but that may be yet another reason why people are so confused or so unaware that...
Well, the sad thing is that prostate cancer is as prevalent in men as breast cancer is in women, and they don't make it of much importance by lumping it together with everybody else.
Right, exactly. And that is sad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we're doing our best, but sometimes it feels like we're, you know, trying to swim upstream. So that's kind of disappointing to me. And it's a shame because I'm trying to do the best things I can, and I sometimes just get so disappointed in my inability to make progress. But it's my prayer that God will help, or God, as they say, God will find a way. So I keep on keeping on. So with that in mind, that September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and we're doing this on the second day. We're recording this on the second day of September.
And we're going to talk about sex today.
No, you're supposed to say the topic is...
S-E-X.
S-E-X.
Can I read something before we get started?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm on a couple of websites on Facebook, or whatever you call them. And there's much talk about sex from the women that come on these groups. So this is Women Warriors for Prostate Cancer. And this contributor says, "Mourning the lack of intimacy. Hugs is all I get. I miss sex. Not the sex part, but the closeness, breathing each other's air, right in each other's faces, and feeling so cherished. I'm so sad. It's not fair for either of us. This is so depressing to know he's not able and not willing to try anything. I'm angry at this frickin' cancer that stole part of our relationship. No peeps to talk to. It's not going to get better. I just need to vent. I'm so sad and angry and lonely." And this is a very common post with women on Facebook with men who have prostate cancer. So with that, I'll let Mark. That's just an introduction to the subject.
Yeah, it's no laughing matter, so I shouldn't laugh. I guess I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable talking about sex, but...
Talk about it.
Yeah. Of course you will. You know, it's interesting because the goals of all of the treatment types of prostate cancer that I know of are typically primarily removal of the cancer, as well as regaining urinary continence and sexual function. Unfortunately for me, three strikes and I'm out. The cancer was not completely removed and has gradually grown over the years to where I am now metastatic stage 3. I never really regained continence and have come to depend on Depends. Thank you, Depends, for such a
great product.
Yeah, and an appropriate name too. Oh, yeah.
We depend on you, Depends.
Yeah. And you know, as far as sex goes, or you don't know and you will know, you know, initially we were able to have sex. But for me, and Jill can speak for her, it was really a different experience. And yeah, I don't know if it was pleasurable or not. I mean, I enjoyed being close to her and holding her, but the different feeling was just different. It was very different. So I don't know about you, Jill. How did you feel about it?
Well, so let's kind of talk about the prostate's role in the sex business. The prostate...
Business?
Yeah, the sex business. The prostate's business is to supply fluid to the semen. And so when the prostate is removed, there is no fluid in the semen. So thus, there is no semen that is...
Ejaculated.
Got it. Okay, yes. Yeah. So it's a dry orgasm. That's the experience that a man has. And also, when they do the surgery... Our surgeon, especially, was always interested in nerve sparing so that a man could remain capable of having an erection. And in Mark's case, they took half of his, one side of his nerves that would produce an erection. So many men going in don't know how they're going to come out. And for a man, this... sex act is so important. I'm sure you've all heard that men's brains are in their penis. Well, that's a joke, but it really affects them mentally, emotionally, physically. And I'm not trying to be nasty or gross or anything, but when you have your prostate removed, your body function changes. And so it's very disturbing to a man. It wasn't as disturbing to me as it... Well, Mark didn't seem to think it was that disturbing, but it wasn't as disturbing to me. And what we did after his surgery was practice sex, and that's kind of what they want you to do. And he was pretty good at that point, able to perform and have an orgasm, though, as he says, it didn't feel the same. It wasn't the same. And women, so I'm here to talk to the women who take this personally, and I did also in the beginning, felt like he didn't like me anymore, he wasn't interested in me, he's so wrapped up in himself, and he can do sex, but he doesn't seem to want to do it. And women get so sideways around this, even if they didn't particularly want to have sex with their husbands to begin with. I mean, you know, not tonight, dear. I have a headache. I mean, that doesn't seem to be anything that we ever remember. All we remember is that he doesn't want us anymore. And it's not, I don't think that's it. I mean, Mark can answer that. I don't think it's not that they don't want us anymore. And I'm so fortunate that Mark shows a lot of affection, and he likes hugging, and he likes kissing me, and that many men, especially with the drugs that deplete their male hormones, lose any type of
sexual function,
but also desire. It takes that male hormone out of their body so that they don't grow cancer, prostate cancer, anywhere else in their body.
Right. So as much as we would want to be able to play the song Sexual Healing, sometimes it's just not going to happen.
And I think as women, we understand if you don't have any desire, you just don't have any desire. You just don't want, right. You just don't want sex. And if a man doesn't have any desire, and oftentimes they just don't have any desire, even though they could play at sex in a different way. I mean, there's other things that could be done. There's no desire there. So the brain doesn't even tell you that you feel like having sex or you want to have sex.
Well, there's other things at play, too. For me, over time, my incontinence got worse and
right.
worse and worse and worse and worse. So just pretty much to the point where I was leaking all the time, no matter what. So hence the dependence on Depends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really had no desire to pee on my wife while we were trying to have sex. To me, that was... that was, you know, in the EU
disgusting
category.
To him.
Yeah, it was in the EU category, and I don't know. I just felt that it was probably even to a point disrespectful. But
so it just
made it kind of difficult to me,
distasteful,
and certainly in my head, you know, I'm just thinking, well, this is not. It's not fun anymore. It's certainly not fun for me. And it was me all about me. But it takes two to play. And if I don't feel like playing, I just don't feel like playing.
The other thing was the prostatectomy. When they took your prostate out, that was one thing that he still had nerves and he still could perform sexually. But then came radiation. So after that, he had radiation. And many men go through that same process, which then that's a whole nother story, which probably didn't help with incontinence. And some of the other things that go along with it.
Right. You know, initially, my doctor says radiation is the gift that keeps on giving. And I have noticed things over time. You know, I'm sure that's one of the reasons that the incontinence got worse over time. You know, and it got to a point where everything that they did, and they did everything, you know. I did Kegels. I had pelvic floor stimulation therapies, which were thoroughly embarrassing, and all sorts of things. But, you know, and then as kind of the cancer progressed, and I was... well, let me back up for a minute. That's why a lot of people, actually, a lot of men don't do surgery or have any treatment, because they don't want their manhood.
They don't want to lose their sexual power.
Right. A lot of people kind of really equate that to their manhood. Yeah. And, you know, that's obviously their decision, but I enjoy being able to be here and speak to people, and speaking to people like this podcast or just in general. So come what may, as the consequences of the surgery, it'll be what it'll be. And you kind of hope for the best, but kind of prepare for whatever. And mm-hmm. I guess that's kind of what happened to us. But as I was saying, for me, as the cancer progressed, I was, and Jill mentioned it a little bit earlier, the treatment became a hormone therapy treatment. And what this particular treatment, which was Lupron in combination with Erleada, basically just stopped the production of testosterone, which most likely in turn, there again, lessens my sex drive to practically nothing. You know, it was in addition to kind of being a head thing with those two meds, the Lupron and Erleada combined. They took me off one of them, so I'm just on Erleada now. But again, what it does is stop the production of testosterone, which is what the cancer feeds on. So on one hand, my PSA is undetectable, which is great, because that's what we want. And then the side effect is that my testosterone is way, way, way below what it should be for a male my age, I guess. And that's just something that I have to live with. And I think the proactive word is live.
So, Mark, with that being the case, many men with prostate cancer who have had metastatic prostate cancer are on these drugs. And so for the women to think their husband is not interested in them, the lack of testosterone makes a man very tired. And I'll say again, not tonight, dear. I have a headache. I've been taking care of children all day. I'm tired. You know, that's so... To the women that are listening to these podcasts, I just ask you to have a little compassion on your husband. Their bodies have changed. Their hormones have changed. It's really not you that they don't like, though you're probably the closest person to them and they might take it out on you. It's really not you. And we went to counseling with our our pastor at our church, and he said, Jill, you're just going to have to exhibit mercy and grace to Mark because he can't help it. He's on this medication that is doing this to his body, keeping his prostate numbers down, but also doing a job on his emotions and his physical strength and his stamina. So,
you know, and it's interesting, as you mentioned, the stamina, because from outward appearances, I don't really look much different than I used to.
Yeah, he looks great. You'd never know it was anything wrong with him.
But we'd be out working in the yard, and after an hour or so, there I am dripping with sweat and exhausted, and just say, you know, I'm so out of gas. And
He's out of gas.
Yeah, and I went to my my doctor, I said I get pretty tired pretty quickly, and he said, of course you have no testosterone, and it's like, oh man, and so yeah, it is a side effect, and I guess I take I take more naps than I probably would have normally, and maybe even longer naps. Jill sometimes is amazed that I'll take a 2 or 3 hour nap.
And then he sleeps at night.
And then I'm just, you know, dead asleep at night. So, yeah, interesting. I guess I'll say these be interesting times. But, you know, and the other thing for me is that... I have had a procedure to help deal with the incontinence. I've had an artificial...
You've had two procedures.
Oh, I've had more procedures than I can count. I don't have that many fingers and toes, but I had an artificial sphincter installed.
Yeah, installed.
They put me up on the rack and
a new part installed.
Hot rotted me a bit. And that kind of allows me to manually control when I pee. I still feel like, you know, I have to go pee, but I can manually open and close the sphincter, which will...
That was a deal changer for us. That was a wonderful thing that he did.
You know, I didn't want to do it then, and I still am not, you know, thoroughly on board, but I did it, and as she said, it is a life changer, and I'm glad I did it. It's just weird, you know? It's just very strange to me. But, you know, in that, too, I have no idea how sex would work with that, you know, because I can theoretically turn off the incontinence a little bit. I still have some issue with leakage, but nowhere near where it used to be. I used to use up, you know, 6, 7, 8 pads a day, and now, you know, I may use 1 a day. I always have one on as kind of a safety because there is some leakage. But I don't even know how sex would work with this.
We haven't tried it.
Yeah.
I asked him actually last week if he ever had the urge to have sex, and he said, "Well, I haven't really thought of it." And so with that, I could say, that's kind of how this drug has affected the male mind. Something that a man would normally think about, maybe think about a lot, maybe more than they should, he's not really thinking about it. So I think it's because of the lack of male hormone in his body.
Right.
That's all I can think.
Right. Right. So, yeah. It's really interesting, and I guess at this point that's about all I have to say on this, Jill. I don't know. Do you want to? Do you have anything else to say, or do you want to say it in the last word segment of this?
As we always say, I get the last word because the woman always gets the last word.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think my last word today is, women, try not to take this stuff personal. It's not you. These are men that loved you before they went into this. And if they didn't love you before they went into this, maybe that's something else to think about, you know? But they've gone through a life-changing and continue to go through a life-changing.
It's a process.
I want to say
event,
because the event continues every time they get a PSA test and every time they talk to the doctor. So women, we do tend to internalize things and get angry and blame them. But I could just say, if I had uterine cancer and didn't feel like having sex anymore, you know, would he force me to do that? I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
So my last word is, take heart, women. Trust God. Love your husbands. Be there for them. And satisfy your own selves.
Good. Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Do that.
Good sound words from my partner in crime. So, that's the last word. One of the things I'd like to do is say thanks to our audio partners, Sennheiser, Jerry Harvey Audio, Meyer Sound, and there's some other ones that have greatly contributed to this podcast that are listed on our website. So thanks to everybody that supports this podcast and our website.
And the motto of this podcast is, be strong and persevere.